Eric Sanchez, I've been doing news now for 30 years. Two languages, all over the world, here in the United States, interviewed four U.S. presidents, co-founded a billion-dollar business. I believe news should be honest and direct and impactful. And this is Direct Impact. We're going to start with something really fascinating because finally it's happened. You know, the lies, the exaggerations, the fabricated lives that exist on social media. Well, they've reached a new level. We all know that nowadays people use social media to create a reality that doesn't really exist, right? For example, the guy who takes a photo in a Rolls Royce, even though he actually drives a 10-year-old Toyota. Or the young woman who makes it seem like she's a multimillionaire traveling all over the world on private planes, when in reality she had to take out a loan just to pay the photographer who took that picture. These are the images that we see on social media. These are the ones that we've almost come to expect, representing dishonesty. But imagine now, imagine if someone did the same thing to become a congressman, impossibly the most important government in the world. Well, you don't have to imagine this, okay? Because it's happened. Possibly never before in the history of the United States has there been a bigger liar than a guy named George Santos. Santos is a Brazilian immigrant, lives in New York, ran for Congress, and won. And then journalists started asking questions to try and better understand how he won. And what they discovered has become the scandal of the year in the United States. Okay, I want to start with this image. What you're looking at right there. Yeah, that is the new U.S. congressman in his, I guess, other life, when he dressed up as a woman and called himself Kitara Ravache. So meet Kitara Ravache. But that's not the only identity Santos has used. He also calls himself Anthony Devolver. And he also claims to be someone named Dombrowski. And let's start there. When Santos realized that many of his voters in his district were Jewish, he reinvented himself as a Jew. And he went from synagogue to synagogue, declaring his faith.
I'm going to Congress to deliver on the American dream, to fight against BDS, to fight against anti-Semitism, to fight against Iran, to make sure that we don't engage in an Iran nuclear deal. And matter of fact, we hold Iran accountable. The JCPOA was a failure of the Biden administration, of the Obama administration, Biden, same thing.
Hey, look, that's a good story, right? Look at him. Looks like he belongs. The problem is the story isn't true. Santos is not Jewish. He also claimed to be a multimillionaire and the owner of many, many properties all throughout New York and the Northeast. Truth? He actually shares an apartment with his sister. He said he graduated from New York University. University says they have no record of him. He said he was a champion volleyball player. Volleyball. Also not true. They checked with the university. He never played on the volleyball team. He said he worked on Wall Street as a financial manager for the world's largest companies, Goldman Sachs and Citicorp. When reporters called Goldman Sachs and Citicorp, they said, George who? But possibly the worst lie of all is the one that he fabricated about his mother. He said that she was dead and died because she was in the World Trade Center during the 9/11 attack. The reality is his mother wasn't even in the United States during the 9/11 attack. She was in Brazil, where the police were looking for her son, George, at the time, for stealing from one of her clients. So who is this guy? Who is George Santos? George Santos is, I guess, Anthony Devolver. a young man like many others who live a life of fantasy on social media, where they try to convince the world that they're important and wealthy. George Santos, or Jorge Santos, copied that strategy and became a congressman. And now an entire country, it seems, is asking, what does the case of George Santos really say about us? Right? How did we get here? And we also have to ask, is Santos the only one in government who is lying? And what's the difference? Here's a question. What's the difference between Santos and President Reagan, who lied about weapons to Iran and the hidden money for wars in Central America? President Clinton, who lied about his relationship with Monica Lewinsky in the White House? President Nixon, who lied about the famous Watergate case? President Johnson, LBJ, who lied about the war in Vietnam? Are those lies more, less important, suddenly we ask, than Santos's lies? And joining us now is Ed Martin. He is a former chair of the Missouri Republican Party. Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, great to be with you, Rick. Thank you.
What do you make of this guy?
Well, look, I mean, in politics, even at the highest levels, there are some characters, right? I joke with people that when someone says to me, so-and-so is a narcissist or an egomaniac, I'm like, at that level, it's like saying that the guy that plays backup shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals has a good arm. Everybody's at that level a bit maladjusted. That's how this game is. So I'm a little surprised that Santos got through the process without more scrutiny, right? That when I was chairman of the party, or, you know, as chairman of the Missouri Republican Party, I sat on the RNC, the Republican National Committee.
Yeah.
You watch these kind of these meat grinders of primaries and of politics. They usually expose this stuff earlier. And, you know, he's a 34-year-old guy.
Nobody looked him up. Nobody looked him up. Nobody looked at anything. Right. I mean, my God. What do you make? There's a couple of things that I want to ask you about in terms of his choices, because obviously there's a lot of lies out there, but some of them I think are more meaningful than others. What about the fact that he used his name Dvorsky, the name that he made up for, which was the supposed family name of his grandparents or ancestors as they were running away from the Nazis in Europe? During World War II. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, yeah, I have to be careful how I say this because I don't want it to sound at all glib, but there are certain things you can do and say in politics that will get you a certain amount of attention, you know?
Yeah.
And being a white guy from Long Island, you know, who this, that, and the other thing is in politics.
It's boring.
Using this, yeah, it's boring, right? And use this name that's somewhat exotic and you're talking about your Jewishness. I mean, you know, and people are saying, you know, so, but again, I mean, what's crazy about this is with the brightness of the Klieg lights, I tell people, Rick, when people come to me and say, I want to run for office. I had a guy yesterday, he says he wants to run for U.S. Senate. I say the first question to ask yourself is not if you can afford to be in office, if your job will let you. It's whether you can afford to do it in terms of your family, in terms of your life.
Yeah.
Because they're going to look at everything, especially if you're a Republican, in my experience.
But there's a certain Machiavellian element to his lies, which fascinate me. Like, for example, what a coincidence. His family happens to be from, wait for it, Ukraine.
Yeah.
What's he doing? What's he doing?
Look, pretending that he's not good at this is silly, right? He's very good at it. And as you point out, you know, the idea, he was even, I think he's Catholic. So he's talking to the Catholics about being Catholic. He's talking to the Jewish people about being Jewish. I mean, again, what makes me crazy is the sanctimony of these other people. You know, across the way, Blumenthal is a senator having lied about being in Vietnam, like a much more significant, specific lie. But no, look, that you're right about it. It's kind of Machiavellian. I saw a piece written recently, Rick, that his generation, 30 years old, he kind of rides the wave of attention. And that's the truth, right? The attention is the truth, not the truth. And again, he did it pretty darn well.
So in other words, what you just said there is interesting. You're saying, look, guys like this, it's all a facade. It's about how they appear on Instagram and how they appear on TikTok and how they appear on Facebook. The rest, the reality doesn't matter. It's just a picture you put up for the world.
Yeah, and you know, Rick, in 2010, I ran for Congress, and I remember the experience where you can describe your life to people when you're talking about running, right? This is 2010, and you're saying, you know, I was a young lawyer, I worked for the church, I was a young guy, and you're trying to explain it, and you're selling, right? You're selling in the, you want to talk about the things that are, instead of I'm a young lawyer, work for the church, I say, John Paul II, you know, picked me to work for a month in the Vatican. Okay, it's a good story. Santos, as you say, it's a different thing. You're not doing a brochure, you're doing Instagram, you're doing TikTok, and in a way that you just pointed out, he's like beta testing in real time things that work for a little bit of the crowd. And I have to agree, he doesn't seem devastated. He seems kind of
he's enjoying it. That's why I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you here, but if you were gonna say it looks like he's enjoying it, I think he is.
I think he is too. And look, the other part of this,
I mean, your dad and my dad would kick our ass. And
because look
what they're doing to our family name. Look what you've done. You're dishonoring us. He thinks the fact that he's followed by cameras makes him Elvis.
Right. Exactly right. And again, we've created this culture, right? It's not happening in a vacuum. He didn't come up with it himself.
Right.
So the real question becomes, you know, here's one other thing. I love the sanctimony of this guy is in the house. A junior member of the House, a new guy, has no power. No, I mean, you know, he's in the majority, so maybe he can go in and beg the Speaker to let him do something. These guys have no power. The Senate has power, no matter who you are, in the House, if you're the Speaker. So it's not like he's got his finger on the nuclear football here and all the rest. The more interesting question to me is, what is he talking about, as you say? What are the issues he's talking about? Because a lot of these younger folks have been more libertarian on issues, more, you know, we're talking off the air, less in the neocon vision. It's hard to see if Santos is kind of, it's like the Incredible Mr. Ripley. Like he's just playing the whole game the whole time.
Like he thinks right now it's probably cool to be a conservative and he's got a better chance of winning as a conservative. Tomorrow he could snap and go the other way. That's why, I mean, the whole name change thing. I mean, what is he? He's a Dabrowski. He's a Anthony Devolver. He is George Santos. But when he dresses like a woman, he's Katara. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
I know you told me, you said, Rick, never change your name when you begin dressed like a woman. Just stick with what you got. But anyway, I don't know. Look, again, you know, the strangest part of this is how, as a party leader in my state, for example, you would have had people looking at this. And someone would have been saying,
look at this picture. Let's put the picture up. We've got a picture of him as Katara. Here he is as Katara. Good looking headshot, I guess. You're a guy like me. I grew up a Catholic, you know, went to church and, you know, the whole nine yards and still do, by the way. St. Bonaventure over here in Broward. What do you think when you see a member of Congress and you look at this guy as Katara? I mean,
Well, look, I mean, first of all,
what does that say about us?
Well, I mean, one thing, I'm a little less judgmental. I'm certainly not a libertarian in terms of politics, but I kind of think, the joke someone said is everybody's a basket case. You just got to find out how, right? I mean, we all are broken. We all have our problems.
Yeah.
I also kind of say to people, when I was with the late Phyllis Schlafly, you know, this iconic conservative leader, when one of her eagles came up to her and said, Phyllis, how can you back Trump? You know, he's been married three times. He's this, he's that. And she said, We're electing a president, not a pastor. I mean, if you and I, Rick, were, and we know this personally, if we went through the number of members of Congress or the U.S. Senate who are deeply flawed, disturbingly so, and said throw them all out, there'd be like eight guys up there and gals, right, doing business. So I think one of the reasons why the media loves this story is Santos is so flamboyant, right? It's not just that he was, you know, he's not Pete Rose. he didn't have a gambling problem, right? He's dressed like a woman, right? I mean, it's a lot more flamboyant than the usual stable of Republican sins, you know? I mean, it's a, but I again, I think if you, I hate to say this the wrong way, if you went into everybody's closet, you know, I think there's quite a few that have some wild times. And, you know, as you say, what does it say that where we are both that it happened, that he ran, and that he, we're talking about it so much, right?
Yeah,
that
well,
so
yeah, I guess it's the unabashed lying. It's just the, yeah. I'm just going to make it up. It doesn't, and the bigger the lie, the better, and it's not going to matter. I mean, he had to know that if he won, eventually people would find out. As we go, because I want to do two parts to this conversation with you. One is, you know, we've got to cover the George Santos stuff and his name changes and all that stuff. But then I want to talk a little bit about what it means to America, what that says about us, and whether he's the only real lying guy out there who happens to be in Congress. But there's another part of the name game that I was thinking about that I wanted to address with you and me. You know, I'm a Latino, so not just a Catholic, but I'm a Latino Catholic. So when he finally had to go with a name, he didn't go with Devolver. He didn't go with Dombrowski. He went with Santos.
Right.
He went with Santos. What does that tell you? Why did he do that?
I mean, you said the phrase Machiavelli, and this guy, he's 34. You kind of, I mean, maybe make one comment about the first part you said. You mentioned your dad, my dad. There's a point where if you have a problem, let's say, remember the guy that we knew, he was, in my case, he was the right fielder on the baseball team. Right out of high school, he got a bad DWI. Yeah. Well, you knew that guy was never going to run for office because he didn't want to have to rehash that. Now, there's nothing you can't rehash, it seems like. There's no shame. I think we'll talk about that next segment. But back to this point, he's a gay Latino, you know, in the Republican Party, right? It's like he self-identified as a woman. He would have had like a trifecta in terms of all the things that the left tells us and is kind of less common, right? It's a little bit like people say Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. Yeah. They say, is he a serious presidential candidate? And I say, heck yeah, he's raised $50 million and he's a black conservative Republican.
You stay right there, Ed Martin, because I think this is a fascinating time to take the George Santos question, the George Santos case, and ask ourselves, how many others out there? I mean, is George Santos an isolated incident? Or is it really part of the fabric of the new America, unfortunately? We'll talk about that. By the way, I have a podcast where I, as a journalist, as a Latino, as an entrepreneur, tell my story and share with you what I've learned about success and growing and failing. It's called the Rick Sanchez Podcast. We talk about some of the things we talk about here. I invite you to check it out, and I'll see you there. When we come back, though, George Santos. How did he get to be able to pull off what he's pulled off, and what does it say about our political system? And what do Americans now think about our own political system? Stay with us. Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I want to show you something. This is a graphic that reveals what's been happening in the United States for, well, the better part of the last decade. The question is, how do we as Americans feel about our government? Do we trust it more or do we trust it less? Look at that line. I mean, there was a time when Americans, 77% said they generally trusted their government to do the right thing. look how that shifted. And look where it is now. Somewhere around 20% of Americans say they just believe their government. That's fascinating.
And we're back now with none other than Ed Martin, former chair of the Missouri Republican Party. Staunch libertarian slash conservative.
Conservative. I'm less judgmental. I don't want to send you to hell for all the stuff that all, we all do. But I would say I'm a conservative. Well, nowadays the labels are all crazy, right?
Yeah, that's true.
When we were 10 years ago, we would have been called on our position on, say, international affairs. People would call us like lefties. Now the lefties won't stick with common sense, right?
You're absolutely right. There's nobody right now, and I don't want to go off course here, but there's nobody right now who is more hawkish, like crazy hawkish, like war. I mean, they're chanting it. They're cheering on World War III than the lefties. The Democrats.
It's wild.
How did that happen? So, all right, George Santos. In the case of George Santos, we're looking at a guy who essentially seems to represent much of what we in America have now become. And that is a lack of integrity, if for no other word, right? I mean, you can't say a guy has integrity when everything that comes out of his mouth can't be believed. And is that us? Is it him? Is it a manifestation of what America has become? Is it just the political world? What is it? What is it, Ed?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's worth thinking on a little bit more even than we're just going to talk about. But I actually think it's a lack of shame. Right. It's not. I mean, we all did things. Remember when you're a kid, you know, you do something. I can picture one time when I had a kind of mentor a couple years older than me in sports. And I took his jacket and I thought he wanted me to have it. And so I cut the sleeves off the jacket. And then later the guy came by and he's like, that's my jacket. I was like, I thought you wanted me a hat. And I remember having this, like, I couldn't be seen for days in his presence. We had shame as
shame.
Sort of. And here's the thing. I don't actually judge George Santos. I really don't, Rick, for having a lot of real crazy, I don't know, life choices and even the lies he told. At a certain point, the lies he's telling is part of trying to fulfill what he wanted to get. What's stunning to me is a lack of shame. Like, once you get caught in that lie, once you just like, and that's what's changed. What's changed, it's one thing to not, and the reason why is there's no accountability. Like, imagine, again, I hate to go back in time too far, Rick, but the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, was caught, you know, doing terrible, terrible things with a woman, whether it was consensual or not. There was very little shame about it.
As Trump, by the way, to be fair.
Exactly, right.
I mean, happened?
Exactly. Right. Stormy Daniels is not. I mean, no one's ever said nothing there. It's just that and somehow that's the shift. And once it's the shift, you're going to get edge cases like Santos, who, as you pointed out in the last segment, he's really good at this. Like, he lied directionally to win the election. I mean, I've run for Congress. It's hard to succeed. And he directionally lied to succeed. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying, so we've created this culture with no shame. And that's what I think more and more people. And by the way, Rick, if you and I were raised in a world with video and photos and social media when we were in our teens, we wouldn't be on TV right now. We'd be like, I don't know what, we'd be both probably working on the docks.
Do you think that's it? Do you think American society in particular has become nothing but a fake mirage, or I guess that's a tautologist, mirage and fake kind of mean the same thing, but a mirage of what people want to be rather than what reality is. Is that what's happened? Is that social media? Is it the media in general? What the hell happened?
Well, I think the line that people say, politics is downstream from culture.
Yeah.
And so when you see in politics this sort of the Santos case, you say to yourself, how? Like, I mean, lying on all these things, lying on things, like, again, lying about being Jewish, it's like the third rail. If you get credit.
Saying your mother died during 9/11 when she didn't. Yeah. I mean, my God, man. I mean,
it's like, so somehow we went downstream from culture, which has allowed this world. Now, I want to pause and say, since Adam and Eve were doing, you know, hanging out, we've had there's been liars. Yeah. The question is, how is it that we're having liars be so public and prominent and successful and without shame? And that's the thing that's accelerated, I think, in the last, say, 15 or 20 years. We had stolen valor guys from Vietnam era, right? And yeah, there were people, but you didn't see things like, imagine claiming your mom died in 9/11. I mean, this is like insanity. So yeah. I don't know. I think we're downstream from culture, and the culture I think is swamped by the instant gratification of all the media.
Yeah, listen, yeah, and it's a fun story to watch in that perspective, that it gets crazier all the time, and the lies are just really outlandish. But let's put all that aside right now. And one of the things that happens when you stand back and watch this is that we live in a siloed society. So you're getting one reaction from the Dems, for example, the liberals in the yep. United States, which is way over the top. They're making this guy out to be the guy with his finger, as you said, on the nuclear button, when he's a really kind of a nobody, a freshman congressman, so what? And probably won't last there very long. But they're making him out. They're making this out to be the most important case in the world. The Republicans are downplaying it, as you said, for certain reasons. But this conversation should not be about what one party needs or the other party needs. This conversation should be about what is fair, what is right. And if someone has done something wrong, they should be outed. Because that's the way it would be if it was in my corporation or your corporation. But maybe American politics is not like corporations, which means it's kind of broken in a bad way.
Yeah, I think it's maybe more broken than it's ever been. And I think the reason there is pretty simple and very straightforward. You've never seen the acceleration and the accumulation of power and wealth in one place, the swamp, Washington, D.C., and the government. You know, we're talking about $10 trillion added in the last year and a half. We're talking about in the White House right now, John Podesta has $371 billion slush fund, literally to give to green energy supporters, right? So once you put that much money in play, everything gets distorted. I don't want to say that follow the money is the only filter to see on life, but it's pretty good indicator of where things are going. And that's what we have. So when I say George Santos's vote is why he will not be pushed out by Republicans, what I mean is there's never been power like this. There's never been a centralization of power. And now look, I do think, like, one thing I want to say, Rick, and we've talked again about this all the time, the power of the media in this is really something to behold. I mean, in the last 5 years, we had the Russia hoax, which was shown to really be a hoax fully. We yeah. have had the Ukrainian, you know, Zelensky is Saint Zelensky.
The misplaying and exaggeration of what is a serious yeah. story.
Yeah. Right. And then let's go more politically partisan. The Hunter Biden laptop, which was managed by the intelligence community and the media to affect the election cycle. Say what do you want about the yeah. election? You watch Santos. The media and the left are using Santos like TMZ.
Ed Martin, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the conversation.
Always great to be with you, Rick. Thank you.
Hey, before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. Simple, really. I want to try and de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little boxes where we only want to be around people who think like us. Truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.